I was, by the time we got drunk at the time, and I had to get in there immediately. I took like a $12 pay cut, and I was like just like doing all the wrong things, trying to make ends meet the whole time. And God was trying to teach me something. My perspective was, and I'm not doing enough. I got kids, and I got to do this and that. But it's so many lessons that I learned in the middle of that, just to be humble, most important, and to trust God. Because even though I took a $12 pay cut, I didn't miss a meal. My kids didn't miss a meal. I still had a roof over my head. And still was met. And I just wanted to share, because sometimes we be confused in the things God, but the relationships I built with some people, like money earner got drunk, and I ended up going to a different job. And the whole time, me being uncomfortable was important, because if I was comfortable and all that, I would went right back to the same thing. But now I know what that job would do that to you, no matter how hard you work, no matter what. I'm like, it changed my whole outlook on life, plus with my background being aware. I can't just go get a regular job, so it made me want to be an entrepreneur, build my own business, and that was God's purpose the whole time, is to show me that you don't have to rely on the government or a job. You can do it your own way. You don't got to worry about being laid off or going to work, and somebody saying you don't got no work no more.
Yeah. You know, during that time was the time I met you. Yeah. I met you during that time, you know, and just reflecting on it, I remember you sharing that story, you sharing that trial that you were in, that you were going through at the time, you know, and I was encouraging you then. I said, if you continue to trust God, that's what I said to you then. I said, if you continue to trust God, where you at now is not where you're going to be, you know, and his life is a testament to that, him trusting God. My life, all of our lives here are where we're at because we stopped relying on ourselves and began to trust God more. And that's what I tell everybody out there in here. If you, regardless of where you're at in your walk with God, if you continue to trust him, I guarantee you that your life will be different when you look back. You got a comment?
Know what God still promises you. It doesn't matter if you don't have a job right now, God, you promised. And God, you said you could fill all my needs according to your riches. I don't know where it's coming from, God, but it's got to come. So if you begin to look at, like you said, that situation humbled you, but it also was basically a redirection. It wasn't a rejection.
You know, that's so important that you said that. However, it comes through our relationship with God and us knowing God's promises. You know, see, you won't know that, you won't have that perspective if you don't have no relationship with him. You know, because, and I can relate to that because I can remember being in my cell going through my situation. I thought where I was at was, that was the end. I didn't know there was another way out. I had no idea. You know, all I heard was 25 and that was it. I didn't know anything else, you know, until I began to read the Word of God. You know, as I said earlier, I knew of God, you know, but I didn't know God for myself. You know, and that goes to so many of us. We know about the God's Word. We hear about His Word. We know how to pray to God. We know those things, the basics. But to know God for yourself is a whole different perspective, because it gives you more insight on his promises to each and every one of us. You know, he cannot lie. So what his word says will come to pass. But it comes from knowing him and knowing his word. So if you don't know his word, you don't know his promises. And that's why it's so important. And that's how his perspective changed. That's how my perspective changed, by getting to know him more. You know, so that's why I tell you out there, get yourself, spend time in God's Word. Get yourself into a Bible-based church where they're teaching you scriptures. Spend time with people who can help you understand God's Word. But most importantly, get to know God's yourself. Get to know it for yourself, because it's not based off of mama, big mama, nana, your mom, your dad. He wants to have a relationship with you personally. And that's how your perspective is going to change. Amen? All right, so let's get into number five. Number five says, kindness to the poor honors God. Kindness to the poor honors God. And in verse 17, it reads, it says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. And here it says on this one, it says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. You know, and the key is, you're not doing it for reward. The reward's going to come regardless, because you're honoring God. That's a part of his promise. You're doing it because it's out of the kindness of your heart, your love for your neighbor. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the same way you would want someone to do that for you, your brother and sister, that's how you would want to do it. My wife, I love my wife. And anytime she sees anybody on the street, she stops her. She's like, babe, stop the car. I gotta give somebody something. I gotta give them something. Regardless of what, she's always reaching her wallet, and whatever she got, she gives. And she reminds, she say all the time, she said, every time I see them, I see my brother. She said, I seen my brother was there. She said, my brother was there. And every time I see him, I want to do it. And I can tell you now, her brother didn't stay there. He didn't stay there. And I believe he didn't stay there because of people like her in his life who gave and poured into him when he had an opportunity to see the kindness of other people, because that young man became a pastor. His whole life changed, you know, and that was because of relationships and someone poured into him that showed love and kindness that changed his life. And my wife continues to do that, and she inspired me to do it even more, you know, and that's why it's so important, and God honors that. God honors that. And it says here, God sees your compassion and rewards generosity. He sees your compassion and rewards generosity. You know, I was talking to me and Ariel was just talking here a little earlier today, and we were talking about the aspect of the financial literacy and being able to teach that to other people so they have an understanding on biblical finances, on really having an understanding on finances and really having an understanding of that it's not about what you have, it's about what you're able to give. You know, because if you're able to give, that means you have abundance. You know, so the more you can give, the more God is going to give you to give. See, he wants us to pour out of our abundance. He wants us to pour. So the more you give, the more you're going to get. Because if your cup is full, ain't no room to get nothing else. You know, and he gave the parable about the man who had the field that he wanted to store up. He kept storing up and storing up. He was overflowing. And he holding on to that stuff. And he wound up dying. You know, holding on to stuff, ordering stuff, don't do nothing for us. God gives it to us for us to be able to give out. He gives us everything we need. See, we're in society, and we were talking about that. We're in society that we worried about how I'm going to pay my bill next week. All those things, because this is what the world tells us that we have to have in place. You need to have 6 months of finances set aside for so you can be successful. But where's the trust in God? What happens to the trust in God? We sound like the people in the wilderness. We ain't trusting God to provide our needs. So now we ain't got nothing to give away because we worried about storing up for 6 months. So if somebody got a need, we ain't going to give because I'm worried about losing out on having something else. So we don't make room for God. And that's why we talk. Biblical financing is different than world finance. And that's what we got to grab hold of. Because if we live according to the world, we're missing God. We're missing God. And it says here, application, serve and support the less fortunate. God considers it personal. He considers it personal. You know, I thank God that I'm in a position where I can give out what I have. You know, my wife say all the time, look, baby, if God told you to do it, go ahead and do it. You know, she always encourages me to do what God says to do. You know, and I thank God for that spirit. I thank God for that spirit. You know, because as I say, we can become hoarders and worried about how we're going to be able to take care of the things that we have. But God is going to provide. He's going to provide. And rest assured, God is going to provide. Is it going to be tough times? Yes, it's going to be tough times. But will he meet your needs? Yes, he will meet your needs. Will you have an overflow? You might not have an overflow at the moment, but your needs are going to be met. And so long as you do according to what he's saying to do, guaranteed, he's going to meet all your needs. All your needs. Number six, it says, discipline is an act of love. You want to read verse 18?
It says, discipline your children, for as there is hope, do not be a willing party of their death, to their death. The lesson says, discipline. When given in love, God keeps it toward life and maturity. And the application says, don't shy away from correction. It's a sign of care and leadership.
You know, that scripture right there is so big in this time right now because that discipline is missing. We're missing that discipline on such a large scale. And society has forced parents away from the discipline that a lot of us grew up with in the 60s and the 70s and even before that, you know, where society made it taboo to discipline your children, you know. And I can remember being disciplined from my mom and my dad, and it was out of love. Not because they didn't discipline me when I was doing anything good. They disciplined me when I was doing stuff wrong. You know, so the discipline was deserved. You know, we might not like it at the time because we don't want to be punished, but it was deserving because we needed that correction had they not corrected us. And this is what we see in society. The correction is not being done, so what they continue to do some of the things that they're doing, and they make it right because they're not getting corrected in. You know, we got some students here now. We got a summer program going on now, and we got some kids who are not part of Harvest, who come from the outside, and they're here, you know, and our goal is to just try to pour into them, to show them how they need to conduct themselves. We remind them, look, listen, we ain't trying to, we know school is out, you know, and you don't want to feel like you're in school, but there's still a certain way you conduct yourself. There's still certain respect that you have to have. You know, you ain't going to conduct yourself the way you always do outside in the street or even in your other school. You know, here we do it differently. But we do it, and we say it in love. And we let them know. And I can tell you right now that I had to have a conversation with them yesterday. And seeing them today, it was a whole different attitude. You know, and sometimes all it takes is a conversation. And sometimes we have become afraid to speak truth in areas where truth needs to be spoken or share correction. Yeah, see, I see it's bubbling in you. Come on, you can come up. So what she said was society won't allow us to love our children the way we would like to or want to, you know. And my comment to that is that we got to walk in that boldness regardless of what society is saying. If we're standing on God's truth, He's going to cover us, even if we got to go through the consequences. You know, see, that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to walk in fear and not do it because of what may be the repercussion. But if we're walking in truth and we're doing it for all the right reasons, God is going to cover us. It's almost like Meshach and Abednego. Even if he don't save me from it, I know he's well able. You know, and that's the mindset that we got to walk in. Because if we don't walk in that mindset, slowly but surely, they're going to continue to push back on us being able to stand and walk in God's truth. Because everything that God wants us to do, society, the world, don't want us to do. You know, so when are we going to set boundaries? You know, so we got to be in a, we got to walk in no fear. Of regardless of what society say, it's what God says, and I'm gonna stand on God's truth. You know, and I think that's the important part, and I think that's how we're gonna make the changes. You know, because I seen some kids yesterday frowning their face and making all that, and I told them just like this. I said, look, you don't have to be here if you don't want to be. This is an opportunity for you to grow if you want it. But if you don't want it, don't be here and take it away from someone else who does want it. You know, and those are the boundaries that we got to set. Because if we don't set the boundaries, then the enemy comes in the church too. The enemy comes in the church, so we got to make him fear even wanting to be in the presence of God. See, because otherwise they'll make it feel okay and they'll create issues. They'll create issues within the congregation or within the organization. You know, yeah, they change the atmosphere. And we can't allow them to change the atmosphere. We got to take control. Allow God to take control. We follow his lead. Yeah.
Chasing thy son while there is hope. Mm-hmm. Then it says, this is the one. And it says, and let not thy soul spare for his crime. Yeah. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So we discipline our children. They act up and cry, we hold back. He's crying, he's upset. Then we stop. But you know, a lot of times what happens is that we allow their wrong become our wrong. You know, but we don't follow through with the discipline. You know, if you didn't correct those children at that time, then you would not set the standard of God's principles in their mind.
Yes.
So when you correct them at that first, it's the first week, right? You have to establish God's principle first. See, the key, this whole system of God is another set of patterns. It's a higher level of being. It's another mindset that you have to take on. So the new information is being fought by the old information. So the old information fights new information. And it takes a while for it to set in. So if you back off because you call him, you give him a break, you know, I'm sorry, you lose your authority, and you lose the you set the standard for them to act up more. Because kids don't. If it feels like I can get away with it, I'm going to
do it. I'm going to
try. You know? And all children try to grade my, they'll say, you grade my dad, I tell my mom, wait till my father here. It's a thing for a first time. And that's designed to.
They do that now. Back in the days, they couldn't do that. Because otherwise, you would have got spanked by mom, dad, and the neighbor.
And you said that. That's in the neighbor. But see, nowadays, because of parents.
Yes. Yeah. No, but that's so true. Because, like she said, we've given up that authority because of what society is saying. And then some of the younger parents are saying, I ain't going to be like my mom and dad. I'm going to be different. You know, they think I'm going to raise them differently by giving them a voice and let them speak how they feel, with have an opinion, sit at the table with the grown folks and, all right, we're going to have a family discussion about what we're going to do. No, we make the decision. You follow the decisions that we make because we're making it in your best interest. You're immature enough really to understand the consequences of the decision. You know, and that's the part, you know, because I was talking to somebody the other day, and my niece, she was like, this adulting is hard. She said, this adulting is hard. She was like, I didn't know it was this hard. You know, and that goes for all of us. Some of us, we couldn't wait to get out. We couldn't wait to be free. We wanted that freedom. We wanted the freedom to make the choices that we wanted to make, you know, until we had to make them. You know, and then we had to deal with the consequences of those choices. You know, and now we want to go back home and wish we had backup. But the backup is gone because we don't deserve it. You know, and that's why it's so important that we give that chastisement. And it's in love. It's in love. And that's why these relationships are so important. That you know when you're getting that opinion, you're getting it in love, that they speak it to you in love, that they know that it's in love. My mom just said, look, I don't want to beat you, but I'm doing it because I love you. And then she would take me to scripture. She used to grab the children's Bible. Back in the day, they had a little children's Bible. You know, she gave us the children's Bible, give us scripture on why the discipline was necessary. Based off of some stuff we done did. You know, but back then, you still want to do what you want to do. You didn't really understand it because you wasn't mature enough yet. But I can reflect back. I can remember those things. See, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't have nothing to bring back to my remembrance. So I thank God for it, you know. And that's why it's important. Like you bring your children every week, you got to hear the sermon. It's so important. That's something that's going to be with them for the rest of their life. For the rest of their life. And so that part is so important. It says here, discipline when given in love God's people towards life and maturity. And it says, don't shy away from correction. It is a sign of care and leadership. That's what I share with those young men. That we care for you. We want to see you better. And what we're providing is going to help you be better leaders. And that's what we're doing with our family, our children. We care for them and we want to show them how to be better leaders. And that's what we got to do. We got to stand firm on God's word and we can't be afraid of discipline. Even as adults, we're not just talking about children. We get disciplined too. God disciplines us all the time. And we got to be okay and understand why we're going through some of the things that we're going through. This discipline. Because he wants us to grow and learn. Here it says, number 7, wisdom and listening go hand in hand. And in verse 20 it says, listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. I'm going to say that again, just what we were just talking about. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And in the end, you will be counted among the wise. That's why it's so important that we have the right type of people around us. You know, because see, in the world, we got what the world had to give. You know, and it's easy to get the world point of view. You know, if I wanted to know how to do something wrong, the world had a whole bunch of reports. You know, it was no whole bar. I had a whole lot of people out there to give me that advice. But to do the right thing, you ain't have that many people. You know, you had to seek it out. You had to seek it out, you know. And that's why it's so important right now to know that we got God's word right here. We ain't got to go far. It's right here. It's right here. We didn't realize the power and authority that we have right here in this world. All the advice, all the information is right here. We don't have to go far. We don't have to go to nobody else. It's right here in God's word. And as we seek his word out, he'll bring the people that confirm his word. That will confirm the advice that he's giving you. But it starts with his word. The more time you spend in his word. You want to read the lesson and the application?
Is that right?
Yes, 7.
Yeah, Kimber, can I say something about the lesson?
Yes, of course.
Six? Yeah. It said the discipline when living in love, God moving towards life and maturity. That just reminded me personally that just sounds so sweet. Like somebody teaches you something, you can learn from it. But sometimes we gotta learn, it's not always, they don't always come sweet. And it don't always come in a nice manner and all cool with stars and stuff. Sometimes you gotta love yourself and be disciplined because not everything sent to destroy you will destroy you, you can learn from it. But if you got the right perspective, like sometimes some people would say things in an ugly manner, and you can still learn from that, and it can teach you something. But if you fight fire with fire, and you're in the dark place, you won't even learn from that. So your perspective and being disciplined to yourself and loving yourself is important, because it's a lot of everything in love, and it's a lot of people not willing to give love, but you can still learn from that also.
And that's important, because see, some people don't know how to share things in love because they only get what they know. So, like parents who grew up from parents in the 50s and the 60s, they only knew one way of how to deal with things. You know, they was direct, they give hugs, you know, certain things you didn't get because they never got it. So they don't really know how to give it. They only gave it the way they knew how to give it, while providing for you, taking care of you. That's how they showed they love you. You know, you ain't get that hug, you ain't get that I love you, you know, and the discipline might have came in an aggressive tone, but it was in love, you know, and that's why the perspective is important, that you understand where it's coming from. You understand that they giving it in love. Yes.
She gotta get me that money.
So I gotta let them know what you said. So what she was saying was, how does a child who doesn't understand that the parent is only given from what they know, how do they understand that it's out of love, but that's based off of the love that they know how to give, just in the manner that they know how to give it. And one thing I would say, it comes with maturity. You know, as you grow, you learn, you know, and another part is when we get to understand God's word, we can understand that you could only give what you know, and in understanding, I guess understanding that it never was meant to hurt you, even though you might have felt hurt in your immaturity, but the reality of it, if, as an adult, you can reflect that it was really for your good, you know, and I guess part of it is, this is something that Pastor Bruce deals with too, where being able to reflect back on some of your old hurts and why you hurt, and really having an understanding of those things and how you can bring it forward, because those things are passed down from generations. You know, they call them generational curses, you know, and really having to understand, because that was me. Because I grew up in a house, my mom loved me. I knew without question. But did I get hugs? No, I didn't get hugs. You know, did she say I love you? I heard it more when I was away than I heard it as a young man. You know, and talking to my younger sisters and brothers, they didn't hear it. You know, and sometimes they didn't even feel it. You know, and it created some bitterness in the relationships. You know, and however, I had an opportunity to see it differently because I was a little bit more mature. And I guess a big part of it comes from maturity and really getting to understand yourself. And I would say this part, don't become what you despise. You know, because, and this is where the enemy has doomed us. You know, we say we don't like stuff, but we become what we don't like. You know, we mind ourselves becoming bitter, becoming resentful. You know, all those things that we didn't like that was done to us, we wind up doing the same thing. And I think that's why God talk about that forgiveness aspect so big. Because we got to be able to forgive our parents. We got to be able to forgive other people for what they've done. You know, because a lot of things are done out of ignorance. You know, they don't even know that the harm that they're doing. They believe, I'm being the father. I'm being the mother. I'm doing the things necessary, but not realizing that I'm not giving love. You know, I'm not giving love with them. You know, my communication is aggressive. It's real harsh. And, you know, so it's not received in love. It's received as fear again. You know, and just a dictatorship. You know, and not recognized for what it really is. So it says here,
I'll read that part.
It says, wisdoms come from a teachable heart and a willingness to grow. Surround yourself with wise counsel and remain humble. You know, and I guess that part right there would help us, you know, because, see, we're only knowing part. We only know in part. And that's the part where each and every one of us, our parents, they only know what they know. You know, so I can't give you something I don't have to give. You know, and that's the part that we always got to remain teachable. We got to remain humble. We don't all have it figured out. And it don't matter how old you is or how young you are. You know, it's not based on your title, your position, none of that. You got to remain humble and remain teachable. Definitely when it comes to God, because we serve a God who is infinite. You know, in our information, we don't know it all. And we continue to grow and learn. So we're going to hit number 8 and then we're going to head out. Okay, can you want to read number 8?
Yeah, okay. Number 8 says, God's purpose prevails. In verse 21, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails.
I'm going to just touch on that. God's purpose prevails. God's purpose prevails, family. And I tell you, if you trust God and you continue to move according to God's will, His purpose for your life will prevail. It will happen what He purposed for you. And it says here, human plans are limited. Only God's plan ultimately stands. Only God's plans ultimately stand. Only God's plan. So, listen, if you fail, it's because you made a choice not to follow God. That's the only reason why you fail. Because ain't no failing in God. Because how can God get glory in your failure? He can't get glory in your failure. So when we fail, it's because we're misstepping. We're moving ahead of Him. We're trying to move ahead of Him. Yes. There you go. And it says here, align your goals with God's will. Seek His guidance first. Seek God's guidance first. It goes back to that misstep. Staying according to God's will, seeking His direction on what's the next step. You know, I confer with God, I confer with my wife. I'll be like, Lord, what? Then I talk to my wife, look, this is what I heard. We on the same page, and I make sure we all are aligned together. Because so long as we align together, we can't fail. We can't. Is it going to be struggles? Is it going to be hard times? Yes, it's going to be hard. There's going to be some tough times because the enemy wants you to fail. He wants you to stop in the midst of it. But you got to keep pressing and pressing. That's what diamonds are made. Diamonds are made under press. Diamonds are made under press. Gold is purified under fire. Family, we got to continue to press. And this is what Solomon wants us to grab hold of here. He wants us to grab hold of it. He wants us to make sure that we're keeping God first. And so long as we keep God first, and family, we're talking from a gentleman who had it all. He had all the worldly things. He had all the things that the world had us chasing after. He had those things. There was nothing that he could desire or want that he couldn't have or didn't have. But here he's telling us none of that stuff means anything without God. He says it's meaningless without God.
Yes. Verse 21 says, many are in the plans of a person's heart, but only the Lord's purpose prevails. And going back to when I was like searching for jobs, going through all of that, and the same as for that, I was going to court for my kids, and I was a little confused about everything, but His purpose really prevailed, and I got put in a position to where I had to get custody of my kids, and I had to, you know, put my kids first. And when I was putting myself first with a job and money and chasing all the things for me, not putting my kids first, leaving everything on my kids' mom, nothing was going my way. I kept losing my job and struggling. And I was making a lot of money, but I was spending it the wrong way and all that. And when I got positioned to trust God, He told me to put the kids first, and I'm opening all the doors for you. And that's what He told me. And I did that, and I took a pay cut so I could spend more time with my kids and be there. So forward, I had to lose custody, all that. But I said, I don't care how hard it get, I'm not going to put a job. I'm going to got my CDL. I could have been on the road making so much money. I said, I'm not. If the job going to benefit seeing my kids first, and that's that, I'm not taking the job. I don't care how much money it is. I'm telling you, God opened up so many doors with the CDL, just like me still being there for my kid, being able to take him to school, drop them off, and still make the money, still get my bills paid. But I could have found so many excuses and other ways to do it. But I trusted God's plan, and I said, I'm putting my kids first, and whatever happened after that happened, but it only got better. And the peace that I have with the job, and that even if I lose my job, I'm building a business, working on a business, and like, it's just so much, but I wouldn't have been here without God. I'm telling you.
You know, That's so important, you saying that, because I told my brothers and sisters when I was away, I said, once you have a child, it's no longer about you. It's about them. And so long as you put them first, God is going to cover the rest. He's going to meet your every need. So long as you put them first, because that's your responsibility. God has put them in your life where you could take care of them the same way he's taking care of you. And so long as you do that, he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. You know? So with that, we're going to close. And family, I say to you, please, 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 make sure your will is aligned with God's will, and you will see the blessings upon your life. You see things begin to shift. I'm not saying that you're not going to have trouble, you're not going to have no problem. I'm going to tell you this honestly. You're going to have more trouble and more problems come up in your life because you're aligning yourself with God. But I'm telling you this, you will prevail. God's will prevail in your life so long as you continue to trust him. That's a part of that. That's a part of that, that transition, the renewing of your mind that has to take place. And it will change your perspective on how you see things. You don't see the storm no more. You see the other side. Amen? So with that, we want to say God bless you. We love you. And family, we want to invite you out. If you're available on Saturday, come be a part of our bowling day, our family bowling day here. We're going to be at Newport Pike Bowling Alley. It's $10 per person. We're going to be there from 11 to 1. So if you're available, you think you can bowl, come out and be a part of it. We're going to be there 11 to 1. Harvest Men of Valor is hosting it. So come be a part of our bowling night. And again, our Youth Sunday is coming up on the 26th. Come be a part of it. We're going to have a guest speaker here, Ms. Melissa Barrett. She's coming and she's going to bring the word for the people. And we want to invite you to be a part of it. And Pastor Bruce Perkins will be speaking this Sunday coming up. So be here 10:30 here at Harvest. We welcome you here on Wednesdays. Come be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest. God placed gifting on the inside of you, and we want to help you line your gifting up with the will of God. Amen? So with that, we're going to say God bless you. We love you. And as we say all the time, the word is free. It doesn't cost a thing. But if God placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. That information is up there. So sow a seed to the ministry. We thank you. God bless you. And have a good night.